Next, we will begin the Naralo monthly meeting for 5:21 p.m. on July 16th.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Let me see.
Testing, hello? Testing? No, nothing.
All right. Hi, this is Matt Ascioni for the record. Welcome to the Naralo monthly meeting. Please remember to state your name before speaking and to speak slowly and clearly when talking.
Thank you. This is Garth Bruin, chair of Naralo. Do we have Darlene, secretary, live on the line? And if so, are you able to read the roll call and the action items? Before the action items, we will actually, maybe unless you can see them, we'll have Matt give the remote calls. Darlene, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Proceed.
Excellent. I'll let Matt do the roll call since staff usually does that, but I've got the action items here in front of me.
Okay. Well, then we'll take the roll call first. Matt, if you don't mind.
Hi, this is Matt Ascioni for the record. On today's call, in the room we have Alan Greenberg, Dharma Daly, Evan Leibovich, Garth Bruin, Glenn McKnight, and from staff we have Heidi Ulrich, Gisela Gruber, Carlos Reyes, Sylvia Vivanco. Eduardo Diaz is here as well. And online we have Annalisa Roger, Darlene Thompson, Gordon Chilcott, Peter Knight, Ron Sherwood, and that's everyone.
Okay. Before we go into the action items, I just want to have quick introductions from the Naralo members who are actually at the table. And for the benefit of our guest, Chris, maybe we can just give a statement about what your ALS does. And we'll start with Glenn. Thank you.
Hi, Chris. Glenn McKnight, and my foundation is the Foundation for Building Sustainable Communities. We do a lot of digital literacy programs, and the big focus this year is DIY for Girls, providing partnership with IEEE and Girl Guides and Hacker Lab.
Garth Bruin, my ALS, Nujan, handles abuse issues for internet end users free of charge and consults with them on policy issues that affect them.
Dharma Daly, my ALS was started by open source programmers that work with community networks.
Evan Leibovich, Canadian Association for Open Source.
Alan Greenberg, unaffiliated member.
And I believe Eduardo is ISOC Puerto Rico, and he should be joining us shortly. Darlene, are you ready to read the old action items? Proceed.
Yes, our action items from last meeting was staff, please advise of the status of ISOC CA ALS application. Staff, on a March 18th, 2013 ALAC briefing call on RIA changes, staff, that would be Margie Millam and Sam Eisner, were asked to identify ICANN's economic advisors and provide the economic study document that was the basis for changes to RAA 3.3.6 and 3.3.7. Will at-large staff please forward this request again? And finally, 2.3, staff, please advise on the status of the request to supply ICANN's whistleblower policy. And that's all.
Thank you, Darlene. I know that the first action item has been resolved. ISOC is now an ALS, and I believe the third action item also may be resolved. According to Alan Greenberg, that document was posted. But do we have any updates on the second action item? Thank you.
This is Heidi Ulrich for the record. I have been in touch with Sam Eisner about that. It was supposed to be, my understanding, was supposed to be posted last week. I have not heard that yet, so I'll do another follow-up today on that.
Thank you, staff. This is Garth Bruin again, Chair of Naralo. The third action item reads as election results. That is a slight mistype because of our last-minute change to the election schedule. Got a little confused, but we do have an election status, and I'm going to ask Matt from staff to advise on how many of our active ALSs have participated in the voting so far.
Hi, this is Matt Ascioni for the record. So far, we have had 14 participants, and there are nine more to go, with one person casting their vote tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. This is Garth again. Just as a quick question out there and out there to the remote participants, has anybody had a problem, a technical problem with the voting? Has anybody on the list been expecting an email and not received one about their poll access? No? Okay. So you're telling me that there's only one person left who hasn't voted?
Sorry, this is Matt for the record. Out of the nine people who still need to vote, Alan will cast his vote tomorrow. For the unaffiliated,
okay. Yes. This is Garth Bruin. To meet quorum, you're saying?
No, for the unaffiliated members, they have their own poll, and Alan casts the vote for all the unaffiliated members. So once that poll closes at 2 a.m. here in Durban, I'll give the results to Alan, and Alan can then cast his vote.
Okay, so that refers to Alan's vote. As far as the other ALSs go.
Hi, this is Matt for the record. They've all been contacted. I've resent everybody's voting credentials as well. And if anybody is having trouble, you can email me your vote confidentially, and I can cast it on your behalf.
Garth Brown again. So that 14 number you gave earlier, those were 14 active ALS votes?
Those are people, I think you asked me for the number of people that have voted. 14 people have voted.
14 ALSs have voted.
Correct, 14 ALSs.
Okay, thank you. Garth Bruin, are there any other outstanding issues from our election in the cycle? And this is a question for staff and for at-large members. Is there anything that is outstanding? I know that there have been some issues. Well, is this? Okay, moving on to agenda item four, our recruitment efforts. We have been meeting on and off via teleconference, our recruitment subcommittee. We have a basic plan, but one thing that has been somewhat of a stumbling block is our outdated application form. And we have been discussing updating this form because currently it is a Word document, and it's 2013 the last time I checked, and there's a lot of other options available for submitting data electronically. I generated a test PDF form, and I think that there were actually some problems with the form. I think that some people are not able to access it. I think some people had difficulties with it depending on their version of Adobe. And I have been looking at an alternative of using a Google form. And I have to ask staff if this would be a problem using a Google form application.
Hi, this is Matt for the record. I was multitasking, so I think you asked if it was possible to have an ALS application form as a Google form.
Yes.
that would require all the other RALOs to use one as well, because we have one form on the website for everyone. So,
okay. I think we've been discussing this on and off for some time. Yes, Heidi.
Well, you have others. Would you like to take?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see the hand. Alan, please.
Thank you. We clearly could not have one Google form for everyone, because there are parts of the world that can't get to Google at times or often. However, I see no reason why we can't have three versions of the form. One you print out, one you complete via PDF online, and one Google if that's what people want. We could even use Morse code.
Thank you, Alan. No, I think that's partly my point, is Garth, that if the end product is the same and it's the same form, same documentation, and it's usable for staff, I do not see why it would be a problem. I just want to test it and then move it forward. And I think that, well, obviously this is something that affects all regions, so we should bring this up in an ALAC meeting. But we're certainly happy to be the test pilot for it.
This is Matt for the record. I actually created a staff account on Google about 2 years ago, so it would be possible and we could receive it, but just so you know.
Okay. I just want to test it and do something with it. Okay. Thank you. All right. So that is my concern. This is Garth, is that we would ramp up a recruitment effort with letters, emails, and phone calls and direct people to a Word document. I would rather not do that. I would rather have as much success as possible for our recruitment efforts, and that includes making the application process easier. So that's why I'm anxious to actually get this off the ground before we start an active recruitment effort. Moving on to, yes, please.
Heidi. This is Heidi, for the record. I've just heard from staff that the economic studies for the RIA should be published by the end of this week.
And is that just news, or is that relevant to what we're talking about?
That's following up on the earlier action item for staff to follow, you know, the RIA, the economic studies.
Oh, yes.
And I just followed up with staff, and they said this week.
This week.
It'll be published.
When we're on a plane on Friday?
It'll be there when you get home.
Okay. All right. Action item number 5. Are there any questions from, I see something blinking on the screen. Is there a question from a remote participant? I see Annalisa blinking on the screen. Is there a question from Annalisa? No?
This is Matt for the record. She private messaged me.
Okay.
So it's my account, so you can.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Action item number 5, outstanding issues. I want to check with our membership while we're all here. Does anybody have anything which they feel is not resolved within the region, or any other item within ICANN that they feel the need to bring to the table now? No? Everybody's happy. Fantastic. Action item number 6, new business. Does anybody within the region have any issue which they would like to propose to the group or bring to anybody's attention? No? Yes, Glenn, please.
Sorry, I was trying to find something. Glenn McKnight for the record. We had this discussion of the Google form months ago, and I remember making one. So for the sake of Matt, if he's looking at the form, I can email it to you, but I just posted it in the form. And that's using the actual Google form. And I took the questions from the ALS form.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you. Evan, please.
I don't know how much this would count as new business, but one of the things that at least I've been hearing through the course of this week is that various working groups, be they ALAC working groups, GNSO working groups that are open to ALAC at-large participation. It's a misnomer to say that these are ALAC working groups. They're at-large working groups that happen to be organized by the ALAC. There's a number of things on the go right now, but they happen to be going on a global level. Just because our members may not have something that is specifically regional in nature, doesn't mean that our members don't have a keen interest in some of the global issues that face ICANN. A number of people have been in Durban, have been going to a number of the working groups, getting involved in a number of things, and this is simply a call to members of NARALO who are not ALAC members, whether it's ALS reps or even ALS members. You don't need to be a rep for an ALS to participate. Being part of an ALS or being an individual member is sufficient to allow somebody to go on to a working group. There's a couple of things the GNSO is going to start to work on. There's a policy versus implementation thing that they're going on to. We have our analysis of the public interest commitments component of the new GTLD program that is going to really require our vigilance. And so I simply want to extend an invitation to anybody hearing this. Don't expect that it's just going to be ALAC and regional leaders. We really need ALS participants. We need people who are not at the top of our own little pyramid to get involved in this. In order for the bottom-up process to work, we need as many as we can get involved. You don't need to be a leader of a RALO or even an ALS to get involved. So it's simply a reminder of that. Thanks.
Thank you, Evan. I think that that's an excellent point. This is Garth again. And as far as our remote participants go, if you have been participating in a meeting remotely, we'd like to see your evaluation of it within the meeting report that that staff has created and Olivier has requested. So you've been spending just as much time as we have yet remotely. So help us fill out that that list of meeting reports. Some other new business is that the, in case folks didn't know on the remote end, that Atlas II, the at-large summit, has been approved and it will be in London in the fall. Is there a specific week or date for that yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is Heidi Ulrich. The summit, when approved officially, will be held at the same time as the London meeting in June. I believe those dates are the... help me out. I think it's mid-June.
22nd.
It's the 22nd through the 25th. And again, the plan currently would be to have all of the... each one representative from each ALS arrive on Friday. The meetings would start... the actual summit meetings would start Saturday, and it would be Saturday and Sunday. Monday through Wednesday, they would be asked to go participate in other at-large or ICANN meetings. Then on Thursday, it would be half-day plenary session again. And then that would be the end of the summit. And the, just one more addition. Each RALO will be asked to have their General Assembly over that weekend. So most likely... It might be Sunday, but I think given the room availability, it might be after Saturday afternoon that the RALOs will hold their general assemblies.
Thank you, Heidi. This is Garth. So for those of you who are at the Toronto Regional Summit or even at the Mexico City Summit, this is an excellent opportunity. It's something that you should look forward to and start thinking about now. Not just in terms of preparing travel-wise, but think about an agenda that you want to bring as an ALS. Think about things that concern you and your members, and think about how we can bring that forward. Okay.
Garth, the specific dates are June 22nd to 26th.
Yeah.
I don't know
okay.
If that's mentioned.
Thank you, Evan. So I think I mistakenly said the fall earlier. It is in June. That's the spring for most people who know what the seasons are. All right, next agenda item number 7. We have with us today Chris Mondini, VP of Stakeholder Engagement North America and Business Engagement. We met with Chris in a small group that wasn't broadcast or transcribed on Saturday, and he's joining us in our public meeting today. And Chris, I'd like for you to introduce yourself and tell the folks at home about it yourself.
Hi, this is Chris Mondini, and I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you very much for the invitation and the opportunity, and I would like this to be a discussion. For people on the phone and the broader group today, I thought that what I would do is touch on some of the things that I had a chance to touch on earlier. I can. My title is Vice President, Stakeholder Engagement for North America, and also Global Business Engagement. Global business. I think it will be refined a little bit somewhat, but it reflects a kind of a hodgepodge of the various roles I've had since I've been at ICANN, and I'll come back to that in a minute. In terms of my background and in terms of what has me very excited and inspired at this stage of my work with ICANN, having been in about 18 months, I'm a person that really likes to work with a diversity of stakeholders and diversity in terms of in groups that are either multicultural, diverse from geographic or linguistic or cultural perspectives, or diverse in terms of the disciplines and the backgrounds and the educations and the interests of groups. This is the thing that, for me personally, coupled with learning, the opportunity to learn, is sort of my nirvana in terms of what I'm working on. And my background, I think, reflects that. I've passed through a number of different kind of sectors. I had an education in economics and international relations. I did 5 years in the U.S. Department of State as a foreign service officer. I was recruited to go to Deloitte. I was a consultant in a number of geographies working for Deloitte in the IT sector. In that guise, I was able to come to South Africa a number of times, which I just think it's great that I'm able to be here again because I love it here. And my last Deloitte role was in the Bay Area, and I actually had enough bandwidth to become much more involved in sort of the not-for-profit social sector. I worked in an organization called the Full Circle Fund, which actually I helped found a giving circle, and worked with grassroots organizations, either in areas of improving economic development for families, or environmental educational concerns for underserved communities. And I'm very grateful to have been able to contribute both at the grassroots, just volunteering level, and in providing advice and support and working with the leaders in that sector. So the opportunity to work at ICANN, I started out in the chief of staff role, as I said, about 20 months ago. And in that role, you really get to, you kind of have to know everything, at least at some level, and you get to experience all of the work of ICANN at some level. So I did a lot of travel. I got to, you know, the government interactions we have, sitting in on the meetings with ministers and going to the important multilateral events. When Fadi took me on as his chief of staff, and before we had a vice president for Africa, I had the distinct honor and pleasure to work with leaders in the African region on the embryonic Africa Strategy Working Group and be exposed to that. Then you may have heard Fadi likes to have roundtables. So I helped to organize a series of roundtables, and those were with they continue, but they were with registries and registrars and the CEOs to talk at a high level, not about policy and, you know, the details of what's on the ICANN agendas at these meetings and ongoing, the ongoing policy process, but really at a more strategic level. I told Fadi when I joined him in his office, I said that I hoped that given my experience as a consultant and as a diplomat, that I could have a more externally facing role at some point. And true to form, that happened very quickly for me. And in January, I was given a new portfolio, business engagement for ICANN. And that portfolio is really, it's business with a capital B at a high level and more of a broadening at that outreach level for business people that have never heard of ICANN and how it might affect them. So we've made some efforts. I would say we've just really started in that regard. But I have great experiences, or so far in this tenure in that role, talking to new audiences. And in those audiences, whether it's a presentation or a Google Hangout or what have you, one of the really inspiring stories is the concept of at large. And you know, somebody accused me of seeking out audiences that are easily inspired. I was at an entrepreneurship conference recently. I was speaking to a bunch of graduate students in Turkey at one point. But I'm pleased to be connected with at large at this stage in this format right now, just because I felt like you've been one of my talking points. But honestly, I haven't had the benefit of the detailed interactions with you. The really 6 weeks ago, I was named in this North America regional engagement role, and that was, it's really in recognition that as much as we would like our engagement leaders to, and we do develop them and measure them, and my colleagues were all kind of rewarded and reviewed on being balanced among the stakeholder groups. And again, this is the broad stakeholder groups, users, business, private sector, technology sector, technical community, the really big categories. Many of my colleagues have more of a government relations background, and in North America in particular, quite frankly, government relations takes a lot of bandwidth. So in recognition of that, I was given the opportunity to really help engage with, listen to, understand the broader array of stakeholders in North America. And again, given what I told you about my background, I'm very excited about that. So I'm on a bit of a listening tour. What we talked about in over the weekend, I have no clue. It's true of every ICANN meeting. I have no idea what day it is and no idea what day we spoke. But we were able to have a chat about about the goals, both, you know, Neuralo and individual goals. And some of those goals may be around recruitment, enlargement, and then even there where you talk about that, are we talking about what I'd love to learn and love to work with you to understand is how we can align what the measures of success are. So if you're talking about something like recruitment, is success something that's about numbers, or is it something that's about diversity, or is it something that's about quality of experience? I thought one of the most enlightening parts of, and I've had this conversation throughout the few days that we've been here, one of the enlightening moments for me was hearing the importance of the quality of the the quality of the experience of participating. And so for you as leaders and for your broader members and the broader group, I would like to hear more stories about that, about what has worked, what will work in the future. So if it's quality of your experience engaging, if it's the diversity of people that we have engaging, if it's the quantity of people we have engaging, I would love to talk about that. I want to just mention a couple of things in closing that Fadi raised on Monday. And I was really pleased that he did. I really share his view that there's an interdependency among all of us, among all the stakeholder groups, and all of the constituencies and all of the parties that come and devote time and resource to this effort. And organizationally, you may have heard Fadi on Monday mention that we're setting ourselves up to conceptually think differently about what needs to be very operations-focused and very execution-focused and very fast and very business-like in terms of approach, and what needs to be qualitative and deliberate and considered and respectful and empathetic in terms of policy development and our interactions. And so I think we really are in this era where we should all be beginning to feel that. I hope that you'll tell me if you're beginning to feel that your participation at large, we are only as good as the quality of each of our stakeholder groups. And so for at large, in terms of the necessity to have diverse voices in ICANN, the legitimacy of this multi-stakeholder model that we're very proud of, that's what you bring to the table. So I'm, as I said, very new, very optimistic. I'm trying to figure out sort of bandwidth issues and how I'll be able to, what's the right amount of time and effort and space and travel and interaction, and you need to let me know what works for you as well. But even at this meeting, where I'm wearing all these different hats and meeting with all these stakeholder groups, it's a little bit like, you know, I want you to understand that there's a consistency of message here. And I think it's one of those things that if you spend only time in only one group and you don't get the opportunity to kind of be among some of the other groups, that the empathy thing is harder. But I want to work with everybody on figuring that out broadly, in addition to the other goals I talked of. Sorry, rambled a bit at the end there, but very pleased to be here, and I'm happy to answer your questions.
Thank you, Christopher. You described yourself as at least potentially being viewed as somebody who was seeking an audience that was easily inspired. I don't know if I would describe us as that. I would describe us more as being not easily discouraged, because these people just won't go away. All these people keep showing up everywhere. You see them everywhere at ICANN. One of the projects that we started in Norello, we call the ALS Showcase, and we profile a particular organization within our region once a month. We have a presentation or a video or some sort of important discussion that person leads, and this is a way of bringing all of our ideas to the table. Now, Fadi on Sunday night at our meeting, he wanted to see this kind of activity from all the ALSs in all the regions, and he wanted to feature it. And he's even mentioned putting some funding towards this. So I think if that there's a way that we can make this happen and really make sure that what was just, you know, a spur of the moment thought from Fadi during our leadership meeting actually happens, because I think that this has been a useful tool, and he was, you know, specifically inspired by stories, you know, that Sarah Noosh brought, that Sylvia brought. So this is all very, very important. So maybe we can put that down as an action item with you, something to start with. State it as a, okay, yes. To follow up with Fadi's request to have an at-large wide web presence of all the ALSs. Yes, Heidi.
This is Heidi Ulrich. I'm happy to report that we've already started moving ahead with this, and that already four ALSs have been filmed, and we'll be scheduling further filming throughout the week and throughout the next several ICANN meetings.
Okay. Well, that was easy. this is Garth again. Since that issue has been resolved, does anybody else have any questions for Chris while we're here? Evan, please.
Hi, Chris. I appreciate what you were saying about the quality of the experience. That does matter a lot. But I would also want to add into that the quality of the results. And I'm going to qualify this compared to what I said a few days earlier, in that when we talk about what we accomplish here, to me, one of the best outreach tools is a sense of accomplishment. Not just showing up and being patted on the head, but also having a feeling and awareness that we're accomplishing something. This is a lot better now than it has been. The engagement between ALAC and the board this morning was probably as good an evidence of that as one could possibly get. So being able to do things like highlight policy wins, things where ICANN did something the way it does it because at large is here. That kind of thing, if it's possible to document that, if it's possible to show it, we influenced an outcome. Something happened to better serve the public interest because of something that Naralo raised, or that ALAC raised, or that somebody within the so-called, you know, public interest constituencies of ICANN brought forward. Quality of results goes in two directions. And the other one, I'm also very happy to say, is being dealt with very well. And that is having a better informed bottom of the pyramid. And so when I look and I see these handbooks of the Beginner's Guide to Engagement in ALEC, the Beginner's Guide to Engagement, Matt, you have every reason to smile. This has been a really, really good accomplishment. Between that and policy-specific things that we can do at a beginner's level, I can't stress enough how important it is having an informed at-large results in better quality coming up, better engaged people coming up, and contributes to that quality of experience. So when I talk about the quality of results, I mean in both ways. If I remember correctly, the dual objectives of having it large is having policy come up from the end user community into ICANN and having good quality information coming from ICANN into the end user community. So you measure the results at both ends. I'm happy to say that, in my view, things are improving. There are certain distances to go in some of them, but there's certainly enough hope, you know, to keep people here as much as Garth says they are, which is there's an awful lot of person hours put in. In fact, one of the metrics we've been asking for is not necessarily just how many comments do you churn out, but how many person hours are actually taken to do what we do. And sometimes a whole lot of hours are put in for things that at the end result turn out to have very difficult, you know, depressingly small results. But at least they're there, they're measurable, and that's improving. But that's the kind of metric, I think, you know, this many people are being involved. and are producing this level of quality. So I would simply, as you're talking about the quality of the experience, I would also add to that that being here for the sake of being here is not all of what it's about. Is that the easiest sell that I can make to bring somebody in as a new ALS or a new member into at large is being able to say, we get things done here. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Evan. In North America, we're famous for our maple trees, which we make maple syrup from. And of course, the maple leaf appears on the Canadian flag. And Americans love pancakes and waffles. So, but anybody who's ever been to a sugar shack or knows how many multiple gallons of actual sap it takes to make a tasty bottle of maple syrup. And they have to reduce it and reduce it and reduce it until they get the fine product. And this is what we bring to the table, and it's along the lines of what Evan was talking about. We put in a lot of hours, we put in a lot of sap to make a very tiny bottle of something that's really, really good. unless anybody else has any comments they want to bring forward, I'm going to call this meeting to a close, going once. Is somebody on the line? Anybody, Matt? No? Going twice? Thank you very much for attending this Neuralo meeting, and I'll see you on the call next time. Thank you.